listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So,
all right, so hello everyone. Welcome to DMTF number 55. I am Patrick, and with me, you know, same band as usual. The band is back together. We have Simon. Hello.
Hello.
and we have Jan as well.
Guten Tag.
Hallo, wie geht's?
My English is not so good.
All right. Okay, so we are off the rails already, like 50 seconds in. That's awesome. Okay, so this is our first show since like
September
July.
Last year. But together.
In person
since September when you came for the marathon.
Yes.
Congratulations on
thank you
finishing your second Berlin Marathon in a row.
Yeah. Technically, that's true, I guess. Yeah, thanks, COVID. Okay, so, the actual last show was like...
after relegation.
July, or...?
After relegation.
Okay. So must have been July, I think.
The plan.
Yeah, the relegation playoff.
Get the impression it's been quite a long time.
May 27th.
May 27th, okay.
But that was remote, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so we have a list of points to cover.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we are getting organized now. Holy shit. Look at us go.
Don't get too excited.
New HATA president.
Yeah.
Okay, new DMT.
First thing first. Okay, so point one, introduction. So that's done.
No?
No?
We're at Simon's spacious cottage in the woods of Berlin.
Yes, and
when you enter the estate, there's the huge Norse god statue, carved by Simon, who moonlights,
and it's covered in horse blood.
Yes, in Zillendorf, so it's about 1.8 million.
No, KLM City, Klein Machno.
Oh, okay, yep.
That's even more expensive.
Okay, even
better. Okay, back on track.
Yes, back on track, please. Okay, so let's have a look back at the last season. Lots of things to cover.
Do we really have to?
No, we don't.
But you basically covered everything. You talked about when you recorded, you were talking about that there's going to be a new president, and the first candidate was Kai Bernstein, right? Mm-hmm. So here we are.
And we can say thank you to Felix Magath, who saved us from relegation, right?
Yeah, but I don't know how much he did. I basically, Marco said he tried to protect himself from emotional pain in the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So what I did...
Sounds like a Hertha fan.
Yes. So what I did, I watched the Bielefeld game. Watched the Bielefeld game at home, and I was playing my New York Times puzzles and quizzes I do every day. And then they were up 1-0, and then there came this counterattack with, was it Eichberger and Maxi Mittelstädt?
Mm-hmm.
Two against the keeper, and then they fucked that up.
I remember that.
Yeah, so after that I stopped watching. I didn't go to any home games, and I made my peace with just being relegated, and I didn't want to have any more heart. I didn't go to any more matches, and we didn't watch the final game. I turned off all the groups and all the Hertha stuff. I just watched streamed some Ted Lasso or something that makes me feel good. And then my wife at 10:30 looked at the phone and was like, oh shit, they won. And we both sat on the couch, shedding a tear. And yeah.
Here we are. All right.
It was a shitty season. There weren't, I mean, until the TSG Hoffenheim game last season, there weren't any, there was no ultra scene. No fan scene, just between 1,000 and 5,000 people at the matches.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't really... That's not what football is about, at least to me.
Yeah, it's rough. It was rough.
And Simon's flight get cancelled all the time.
Yeah.
Brexit, yay! Brought to you by the Conservative Party.
Oh, yeah, Brexit.
Sorry, Simon, I said a swear word.
Brexit plus COVID, it's like a recipe for a disaster.
Didn't we have an episode called like a meth lab blowing up?
Yes.
That's Britain for you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, just let's just not get into the nuts and bolts of last season. I mean, just Typhoon Korkut, that whole thing was such a brain fuck.
I forgot about that person.
Yeah. I keep forgetting the next thing about that. And then, oh, this happened. Also, this happened. It sounds like it's 10 seasons put into one, but it's just one season.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Hertha survived.
Yes. We also had a few changes in club management.
Oh, did you guys watch the rest of the season or did you tune out? Or
last season?
Yeah, yeah. Relegation and everything?
I missed most of it, to be quite honest. The
matches were, I think, they were free to air, I think, weren't they?
I don't know. I didn't watch. So.
Yeah, I think I watched at least one of them.
Did you have any hope left or had you forsaken all hope?
I think I've probably forsaken all hope. I didn't really expect us to get through it, to be honest. But, you know, it was for once a happy surprise. So,
yeah,
we made it.
Whenever, I mean, the last thing I can think of that was so lucky was beating Bayern at home in 17 and maybe this match against Freiburg where Julian Schieber scored in the 95th minute. And probably the Dresden match where Toruna Riga scored in the 121st minute to equalize the game. And then we went to the penalties. That's the last things I remember that ever were, quotation marks, lucky. Anyway.
Yeah.
I was
about to say I'm sort of ruining the schedule, but there are sort of photos and things on Twitter from the game yesterday, which we will talk about when it comes to Hertha's luck or lack of.
Hertha's boon with referees. One last introductory thing. I want to say I'm so happy to see you guys. That's really, we always used to hang out at my place and record and babble on, and now it's just
the difference is you've come to my place and we're babbling on.
But you never know a good thing until you miss it.
Yeah, that's true.
And one quote from Ted Lasso that totally sums up everything about football is: "It's the hope that kills you."
That doesn't come from Ted Lasso, does it?
No, but that's where I heard it.
That's older than that, isn't it?
Sounds like Wordsworth or something like that. Or
and the last thing to die is hope. That's variation.
The first casualty of war is innocence. Okay, moving on.
Stepping away further and further from the original quote. Okay, so changes in club management.
Yeah.
So you mentioned...
I think you recorded and then you talked about that Gegenbauer had resigned right after relegation, right? Once the season was over, there was a press release that he's going to resign.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But there was also Bernstein, who was named a former ultra.
Yeah, he was Capo,
wasn't he?
That's what you didn't fight. I listened to this. It's Capo, because Marcus was like, "What's the word for that?" I said, Capo.
Okay.
He was one of the founding members of Harlequins, as you said, yes. Rightly. Mm. And then he was a Capo. He had a stadium ban once or twice. So that's everybody was getting the knickers in a twist about.
Should we explain what a Capo is for listeners?
Go ahead, Simon. You're the expert.
Well, I'm not an expert at all. He's just trying to set me up now.
No. I'm trying
to
involve you.
Well, he's the guy at the front that calls what happens in the Ostkurve, because it's all sort of coordinated. And there's somebody right at the front in the middle that coordinates, you know, what's being sung. And he sort of sets it all off. So the guy that's now the president, he used to be, that's pretty sort of core to the ultra scene and what goes on in the Ostkurve. So,
and the significance of Harlequins was that they were the first ultra group. You know, the whole culture came over from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group people sometimes call Althauer, the old people there.
Okay.
So there's some interviews with him. He basically showed up on my radar in 2020 after the whole Klinsmann, that also happened. After the whole Klinsmann thing, there was like a talk with three or four fans of Hertha, and he was one of them.
Okay.
In Elf Freunde, the football culture magazine.
But
he said that he used to get Schelle, you know, like they had lots of fights in the beginning.
Okay.
Because Ultra was something new with the Tifos and the Pyro and everything. So they had to fight really hard to sort of, no, it sounds bad, but clean the Ostkurve. It doesn't, yes. Sounds very Nazi-like, but, you know.
Well, yeah, but like, I know what you mean, because in many clubs, some ultras have ties with the far right. okay, I didn't say that, but that's impossible. But like in Eastern Europe, that's, you know, widespread and organized crime as well. You know, having ties with the ultras or the other way around. But I was wondering, how come he got stadium bans? I didn't know about that.
Oh, I don't know about the incident, but some, you know, it always happens. If you step on the field, something happens. It's very easy to get a stadium ban. Just one example to illustrate. There once was a guy, I'm not sure if it was in Berlin, but he went somewhere and he put a flag up in a bar close to the stadium. The ownership was okay, and he got a stadium ban for 2 years. And then he kept traveling to every match and found a bar right next to the ice.
2 years?
I mean, people always say that.
What was on the flag?
I don't know. Police came in, he got a ban.
Wow.
And people always think that ultras are violent and stuff like that. There's the Dachorganisation, like a rainbow, umbrella organization.
Yeah.
The Förderkreis Ostkurve.
Yeah, yeah. We've always described it as an umbrella organization that covers all the activities within the Ostkurve.
And all the fans.
And all the sort of fan
basically
groups
all the fans,
and what have
the
you.
The ultras and every sitters like us. And
yes.
And, yeah,
the and old people that sit on cushions.
So basically, you can become a member for $20 a season with it, and they also have now a Fanhilfe, which is popular around. I mean, almost all clubs have it now, maybe except for Leipzig because they don't have any fans.
Or Hoffenheim, it seems.
Oh shit!
Oh yeah. I mean, they didn't have anyone in the away section, right?
No.
That's not true, Patrick, because I saw both of them.
You're right. Good point. I stand corrected.
My father-in-law used to say, yeah, then the sporting director can come over and say hi to everybody individually. Or I turned to Joel. Hi, Joel. Mm-hmm. Who was at the match and said, yeah, you know, Hoffenheim are notorious for their huge away fans presence. Yeah. Yes. No, but there's also the Fanhilfe, which is basically lawyers. They're on call if you have a problem with police. Which doesn't mean you have to be like an active ultra or fighting with other fans. It can happen to anybody. You know, if there were some instances in the past couple of years where somebody went to the away match and there were families, and then there were some ultras and the families were walking in the same general area because they all had to go to the, for example, Mainz Stadium somewhere in the middle of somewhere in the fields, and they got attacked, and then it can happen to anybody. Like in 2020 or 19, somewhere in Austria, a whole group of away fans, they were on the stadium was right next to a highway, and they were on this bridge, and they were kept in there by the police. That we would call a cauldron when they put a kettle around you.
Yeah,
kettled.
Yeah, and they were in there for 6 hours, and people passed out. There were kids in there. Jesus. I mean, police brutality.
Yeah, that's not...
With
that's
football not, is also a thing. I mean, it's not as bad as the white supremacy shit, but it's still... It's a problem. So I'm a member of Fanhilfe as well. That's
okay.
$10 a season.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to join, go ahead. And they have a forum. Good thing you're going to support all the choreos and shit.
Awesome. And by the way, quick sidetrack. If you want to drop us a line, you can do so on Twitter at DMTF Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. I wasn't sure if it was DMTF Pod.
And the Instagram... DMTF.
Yes.
Simon is still working on the concept for our TikTok account, which
what?
Oh, and we still have the speak pipe thing.
Oh yeah.
I think there's a link in our Twitter bio for Linktree, and there's everything lined. So if you want to send us a text message, you can do so there. 90 seconds.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. If there's anybody listening in the abyss.
Stay with changes in club management, there was some... you mentioned Gegenbauer a few seconds ago. We learned about this smear campaign
created just to do that now? I was thinking we were going to do chronologically and then...
Whatever
you want.
No,
you're the boss.
We absolutely can do that. Okay, so then first we can mention Axel Kruse-Jugend, giving a questionnaire to every candidate.
Yeah, for the second. There was one... normal members meeting, and then they had where almost everybody got voted out, and then they had to do an extraordinary one, like außerordentliche Mitgliederversammlung, where they would elect a new president and new vice president, and they needed more members because some were voted out of the presidium, the board, and some quit after they got like 50% of the vote, which is not really much. So there was another one where they had the election of the new president, vice president, and they needed to get in some members of the for the board, which was, I couldn't go to any of them, but the second one must have been a hoot.
That's the way of describing it, yes.
Yeah, the first candidate who stepped declared very early was Kai Bernstein. We mentioned him before, former capo, has been a, I think, like, how do you call these middle companies? There's a short word for middle, a small and middle, comes like S.
Yeah.
He has a medium-sized company. He runs an agency. That was all mentioned on the last podcast.
SME or something. Is it small, medium enterprise or something like
SME,
that?
SME, right. Oh, Simon.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I know it.
He's
in French.
He's the dictionary.
But,
I'm out.
Okay, yeah, PME. Petite moyenne entreprise.
Yeah, so he has this event agency, and he has been linked to Hertha a bit. I remember that 1892 Hilft, like the social or the charity that helps especially the unhoused people, and they always had a car from his company, said Team Bernstein. So that's how I first heard about him.
Okay.
And he declared early, he came up with a website, he had like a workshop over the weekend. I don't know exactly where that was, but it was really, it was all about content and ideas and nothing else. Well, Gegenbauer had this Berlin Filz, you know, Filz, like felt.
Okay.
Felt the material.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Filz is always like backroom deals and...
Okay.
What is it called if you have a friend and you give him special treatment? Not oligarchy, like, but...
Corruption?
No, not really corruption.
Nepotism?
We're not talking about England. Nepotism. Lots of nepotism. As I think market... Just go back to the last episode and listen to everything Marcus said. Then you're good. You're good about the whole thing.
Okay.
That's the setup.
All right.
And then Steffel came out of the woodwork. He's a, oh, if I hate a guy, oh, he's in the member of the big double quotation marks Christian Democrats.
Okay.
I would call them we're Nazis, but really, we don't like to say it out loud. But all our policies are basically white supremacists and we hate foreigners.
Okay. Yeah. That bad. Wow.
Sorry, I'm getting too far away.
No,
and,
it's okay.
He was
used to it.
He was,
yeah, yeah.
He was a member. He was a member to become the mayor of Berlin. And he ran a campaign against Klaus Wowereit, who used to be
what?
The mayor.
Yeah.
And I think one of the memorable things was that there was a press conference by Wowereit, a social democrat, where I think they were gathering dirt on him, and then he had a press conference to get ahead of the whole thing, said, I'm gay, and it's okay that way.
Yeah, I remember
ich
that.
Ich bin schwul und das ist gut so.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
And I would bet one of my testicles that
the smear
campaign came
picture.
From Steffel.
Which one, yeah?
You know I have three, so I don't care. Sorry about the... I'm sorry for the salty language.
We're used to that too.
No, and so he basically, he totally lost the whole campaign. And then he kept going on the local level. I hear about him sometimes from my father-in-law because it's the same Reinickendorf area, so he knows about him. He has a company, and then he became the president of the Reinickendorfer Füchse, which is the first league
handball
league.
Yes.
But the talk on the streets is that the guy who does all the stuff is Bob Hanning, who is really the brains behind it, and that he was just like here, like a Grüß Onkel, somebody who just shakes hands and is there, who doesn't do anything. I mean, when he said he's going to declare for the whole thing, they said, oh, sure, you can go. I mean, if he was of any worth, they would like, hey, can you stay?
Yeah.
So I hate him. And when he started, there were a couple of other candidates. We don't have to get into them because it's non-consequential. You can look it up if you want to. And then the backroom deal started. Everybody else, so there was Bernstein, Steffel, and like three, four, five other guys. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, one after another, they said, oh, you know, I'm going to step back from my candidacy, and I'm supporting Frank Steffel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the ultra scene got really active, which I love about the whole thing. I mean, basically, we have the first former ultra president.
That never happened before.
I think St. Pauli with Oke Göttlich, they have something similar. He came from the fan scene, but every newspaper said we have the first ultra president. Oh, and that's
quite cool, isn't it?
And did Bild-Zeitung get their knickers in a twist about that? Like, oh, now you have to have pyro at the games, and if you can't go to games anymore, it's going to be unsafe. He had a stadium ban. He must be a murderer.
At least.
Yeah.
Start with.
And, so the second, Axel Kruse Jugend, special shout out. They went to work. I mean, it's all these people. I think it's also sogenannte fans. It's a new fan club. Mm-hmm. Basically, people from Hertha-based podcasts and some people around Steven, who they call Initiativen Steven, because he's on Hertha Kneipe, he's on Blau-Weiße Stadion. Okay. And they did some flyers, and Axel Kruse-Jugend started a questionnaire for every candidate for whatever jobs they were to grab on, like all unpaid jobs. And they get a certain remuneration, like $5,000 or something like that, a year or something like that.
Okay.
And they just sent these to every candidate, and they got answers back, and they just posted them online. And then they added some remarks about people, and then they were accused of... There was one guy who started posting. He said, I'm going to declare. And then just somebody looked at his Facebook account, just reposted stuff he said. Pretty racist shit.
Okay.
And then he had to step down. He talked about a left-wing conspiracy. You know how crybaby the right-wing is. And so there was this... Mark Schwitzky is founding member of one of the first German Hertha podcasts, Hertha Base, and he works as a journalist for RBB. And
mm-hmm.
There's this conglomerate of left-wing activists of Mark Schwitzky and Axel Kruse-Jugend, and they want to take away our club, and not knowing that they're just totally misaligned with all the ideals that the club is working on. Yeah, long story short.
So, they were accused of being biased, pretty much. But I mean, they can't.
They're fans. They're not.
Well, yeah, exactly. They are allowed to do that. Like, you know, they are not, you know, journalists. They don't have to be neutral. Yeah. You know.
So I couldn't go to the meeting, as well. But I sat at home looking at the live ticker. And
if all they did was to look at his Facebook feed and he.
No, that was something else. They sent pictures to all the questionnaire to the candidates and then posted them online. And for some candidates, they put a little stuff on top like, okay, if you want Steffel, you can get Steffel, but he's an idiot. That's just the general gist of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how it worked.
That's not exactly neutral, but that's okay.
They don't have to be, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
They're not the BBC, and, well, the BBC aren't neutral either, so...
I guess that's
what messed us in. You know, so
okay.
We might rush it up a bit. So, and then everybody did the speeches, and Kai Manchin did well. I mean, it was really good. Oh, and one thing that really, I couldn't go, but I wasn't sure about the candidacy. I said, okay, Bernstein, don't know him. Why is he declaring so early? But then Fabian Drescher, former member, he used to be a member of Axel Kuhn, but he had to step down. He wanted to not get involved too much.
Okay.
He has been in the board for quite some time now. And he declared and said, I want to go for vice president, and I'm only going to stay in the board if he wins. If not, I'm out. And that for me was, okay, if Fabian says he's good, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Okay. And then they had talks, like speeches, and I think the lots of ultras were in the front, and the Bernstein speech was okay. Got huge standing ovations, and before he started talking, they clapped. And then
people started lighting flares in the press conference.
They were burning kids.
Yeah.
And then...
kids or kids?
Kids,
okay.
Anyway. And then Steffel came on. And he was yelling. Before everybody... But my feeling was, okay, we're going to lose this. Steph is going to win this all shit fuck. You know, you always get cynical by just living in this shitty world with Brexit and whatnot.
Something like that, yes.
Roe v. Wade and the buffoon, all the buffoons, the Johnson and the Trump. And
come to England, it's full of buffoons, most of them in government, it seems to me. And it does tend to make you somewhat cynical.
Yeah. And
especially as regards their motives some of the time, yeah.
But then Steffel, okay, of course, whenever something like this happens and there's a vote, the organized fans or people who care, they're just going to organize and they're going to come up with questions and ask these questions to. And the questions were kind of tough. And then people were like, oh, why did you get all these tough questions? They could have asked Banshee anything, but nobody did. And then he kept yelling until somebody came up and said, why are you yelling at me? I don't know. What have we done to you? And then he lost the vote. And after when there's this guy, Dr. Lentfer, he's just the coolest. He's in law. He's a lawyer. He's very, you know, all tight and
proper.
Yeah, but also very, how do you call that?
Dignified? Not,
how do you call that?
Prim and proper?
No, but if somebody in England is very
uppity?
Not no. distinguished. He's a distinguished gentleman.
Distinguished.
And then he said, okay, we have the votes.
I knew about being distinguished.
We have these votes. So about three candidates. And then this one. And then we have such and such votes for Benjamin. And then everybody started clapping and went up. And just, Adam, this was really, really great.
Like in a movie, almost.
Yeah, it was a bit like Field of Dreams, kind of, or whatever.
You could make a movie. Oh, there you go. Could be a project
for the movie. There's also the documentary, something we should put on the list for the next episode.
Yes. Yeah, because we are still at point number three. And we are 27 minutes in.
Bernstein won. Bernstein won. A New Dawn at Hertha BSC. They're stepping away from this mold of the backroom deals and whatever. And I mean, Steffel, what does he have to do? Oh, one thing he did. He never posted anything of going to Hertha games, but he was at the final when Frankfurt won the Europa League.
Okay.
So he's like, fuck are you doing? I mean, that's a fair question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he lost and then he took right off. He shook hands and took off. Never said anything again. So, you know,
good
riddance. Okay. He basically was supposed to be a vessel for Windhorst. So we really dodged a big bullet there. Especially after all the stuff that came out now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, which is? Basically, Windhorst hired an Israeli company to start a smear campaign
The detective company.
Ah, okay, I didn't know that part. Okay.
Private eye.
Launch a...
Max. And did they have Philby's if they were a detective agency?
I didn't understand anything you said.
Okay.
Same.
Well, you know, if you just think about detectives, you know, in the old school, they all had...
They were fedoras and...
Spy Max.
Smoke.
What is that? Spy Max?
Spy Max.
I don't know what that is.
Of kind of Mac. Remember Columbo back in
the day? I know a Mac computer, but that's about it.
Yeah, a spy Mac.
It's a sort of like a raincoat.
Oh, the candy.
Like, okay, a Macintosh, I know it. Well, I've heard that before, but like a spy Mac?
Yeah, it's like G-Man Jerry colored.
G-Man
You know, back in the 60s and things, spies would wear one of these spy Macs that in the films, and that's
and
how you knew they were a spy.
And smoke. Can't see their faces, and they step up. Like a third man, Graham Greene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, sure. So highbrow.
I wish you never mentioned this now. It's just gone off on a total tangent with me sounding like some lunatic.
So distinguished. Okay. So, smear campaign against Gideon Bauer.
Yeah, so it just came out that supposedly this... Oh, do you want to say?
You know more about that than me.
Yeah, basically, he was sued in Tel Aviv for...
not paying them.
For breach of contract.
Yes.
And his...
What a scumbag.
Yeah, he's starting to look really like a scumbag.
What we forgot that Windhorst started an Instagram account and a Twitter account, and there were these bots, which ties into this. There were some bots showing up, and somebody, like, I think Steven at Sogenannter on Twitter, he called Windhorst and he did an analysis of all these new accounts that usually used to post, and they used to post
pictures of fluffy
dogs. No, TripAdvisor stuff. So I called it Sektion TripAdvisor.
Okay.
And let me look at... and then he posted a statement on, like right now, Windhorst, I mean, he tried to burn everything to the ground. There was this talk about him not saying anything publicly. Then he went on Bild TV, which is like Fox News on steroids.
Okay.
And
but it was using these bots to slag off Gegenbauer, wasn't
yeah,
it?
All of a sudden they started posting stick. And then he hired a cartoonist who did negative cartoons on Gegenbauer, and then Gegenbauer resigned. Just one catch. Okay. Klaus, hello, at Blaues Gehirn. We have to tag him in the
episode.
I just want to read through the post on Facebook by Lars Windhorst. Dear Hertha fans, so many of you has asked me about a statement, which is like, yeah, I have so many people who ask me. So like the Trump, yeah? Many people have asked me, why are there all these foreigners in America? We have said everything publicly, the story in the Financial Times, which is, I would say, a pretty respectable paper, but that's just me, is total bullshit. If you look at it logically, yeah, it would have made any sense for me to do that. It just, this screen screams guilty, guilty, guilty. I don't want to go on. And then he keeps on blabbering about that, how if he had done it, he wouldn't have paid that much money. He would have paid $500,000. That's it. I mean, that's a defense.
That makes it all right then, does it?
I couldn't have killed him. I would have used a bigger knife.
Yeah, that's
and then he starts attacking.
That's just not my style.
And then he I mean, what Hertha did, their reaction, totally perfect. They said, okay, press released by the board. We heard about these things. We read the article. It's our duty to the club. I'm just paraphrasing here. To look into it. We have independent lawyers or office or somebody look at it. Mm-hmm. And then when we have the intel, we're going to say something about it. And then they canceled. They had scheduled the 100 days press conference, which is a German thing where after you get into office, you after 100 days, you give them first. That's the good thing. It's all about accountability and content with or the different topics with Bernstein. No, Gegenbauer's like gruffy old. he was a growler. I was standing next to him once. I was talking to Axel Kruse. We often meet during the members' meetings. Always have these different departments talk, and then when the table tennis, the ping pong, and the bowling, we just step out, we talk, and then he said, "Hey, Mr. Gegenbauer," or he said, called him by his first name, "Hey, Werner." Why isn't Axel Kruse the official fan club yet?
Going back to the Spy Mac thing, was he wearing a Spy Mac and did he have doggy treats in his pockets? Well, if he's sitting there going,
but he said, go Gadget, and then he flew away on a helicopter.
Those are all
get us back into
the kind of trend that flashers go when they are hanging around public schools.
How did we end up here?
Yeah, you asked me.
So what were we talking about?
Flashers. This is a total diversion. It's got nothing to do with Hertha football or anything. And on the subject, you mentioned flashers. In that, I went to a metal festival in
Norway.
How
we always slip that in there?
No. It is relevant. In the people, well, sort of relevant.
Is it though?
To flashing, anyway. So, what was quite funny about it was called Midgard's Blood. And if you put
blood,
if you put in blood, if you spell it in one way, it means that you're going to this particular festival. If you spell it the other way in Norwegian, it means somebody that exposes themselves in public. hence linked to flashing.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
and your wife?
It was quite funny seeing a person saying, hey, bloaters. And then Norwegians come back. You know what that means, don't you?
So your wife went along with you to a exhibitionist,
flashers,
festival,
flashers convention.
Well, you all covered your private parts in animal blood. Okay, back on track. Thank you, Simon, for enriching the conversation with your very interesting insight.
Flashers convention.
Where were we? I don't know. Hertha, right? Hertha BSD.
Still, yes. Summer transfers.
So we were done with the. They canceled the 100 days press conference and said we're going to do that later because we have to look into that stuff first. It's very pressing, which is, I mean, you guys can chime in, but it sounds pretty standard operation and accountable, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, what we know so far doesn't look good for Winters.
Hey, and there was a big Spiegel article in Spiegel Plus. You have to the paywall, but they always guys always posted in the group, which is really nice. Hey, he's just, I don't know. He's like, can I say weasel without being anti-Semitic? He's a weasel.
Yeah.
He reminds me of all these of all these characters in the Robin Hood Disney version, you know, with the Little John and the snake. But the snake is a bit anti-Semitic, isn't it?
It's not.
But you know that
No.
But you know the Robin Hood Disney version.
No, I don't really.
I don't know.
Oh, how can you live with yourself?
I avoid Disney stuff.
Okay, well,
yeah. It's quite easy, guys, when you know.
Under these circumstances, I can't, in clear conscience, continue this podcast with you. Good day, gentlemen. Okay. Good day.
Thank you. Goodbye.
No, you know, it's animals. And who's the bad guy? John? Prince John? He's a lion. And his advisor is a snake. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, snakes, they're always used, aren't they, as being sort of sly. And
I know you're coming with Norse mythology again.
Well,
don't you have a snake tattoo? Are you a Vintorst fan?
No, I do not have a snake tattoo.
Oh,
those are wolves? Those are wolves.
Hey, guys, if we get a certain amount of money, send us through PayPal or Ko-fi, all linked in the bio, we were going to do a YouTube version where Simon will show off his new ink. It's astonishing. Simon is just, he looks like a badass. If I met him somewhere, I would say,
really, really unlucky, Jan will pull his trousers down and show you his puffins.
It doesn't stop. Yeah, it's a tattoo.
Puffins is a word for something else. No, it's not. Not in this case.
Remember to breathe, Jan. Remember to breathe.
Speaking of testicles, there were lots of cases of Bundesliga players with testicular cancer, Simon.
Right, okay.
Stop laughing.
In the Mets leagues anyway.
Yeah, you mean you had this one player from Köpenick who just went to chemotherapy, yes. Just made his comeback in practice, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had the big transfer, the biggest summer transfer by Dortmund, Allaire.
Allaire, yes.
He used to play very well for Frankfurt, and then you went to Ajax, I guess.
West Ham, and then Ajax, yeah. I think. Yes.
He had testicular cancer and had to go through chemotherapy. Then you had Marco Richter.
Mm-hmm.
They had removed the tumor, and now he's good, and he already scored this. What's bigger than a screamer? That goal was that's crazy.
That's pretty much as big as it gets, I think.
Yeah.
Jesus. And so he's back now. And then last week, Jean-Paul Boetius also has testicular cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's been a bit of a run, hasn't there, with footballers? You know, these sort of young, fit guys.
And on social media, people kept, where did they go? Of course. It must be the vaccination.
Oh, Christ.
But somebody posted, there is scientific data.
I've had five of the fucking things. There's
scientific data about there being correlation between being an athlete and testicular cancer. Okay. Something about the temperature of your balls or something like that. I don't care. Okay. So, if you listen to this and you happen to be male or identify as male, if you have testicles, just check them out and see if you're fine.
My guess would have been like
ball in the balls,
but like maybe steroids or something. You know,
nobody uses it. It's a clean sport. What are you talking about?
Yeah, of course,
it's preposterous. I'm leaving again.
Allegation.
I'm shocked.
Outraged. Yes.
You just sound like somebody who does PR for one of these right wingers. No, you would never do that. Yeah, anyway, back to Vintorst. Now is upset that the club didn't go to him first and then did the statement when he went to Bild TV, which is the worst outlet you can go to. So, enough with Vintorst. He's not scum. I can't say scum. It sounds racist to me.
No, it's not. It's not.
You don't know. You're a white male. Like me. Anyway, we're trying to come up with a word for him that makes fun of his name and make him idiot. I have an idea, but it's Texas.
Windbag.
Is that what you eat stuff? Because we have Windbeutel.
It's just somebody that just... Bleh.
Yeah, but we have Windbeutel in German. It's a very tasty dessert, so I don't want to ruin that for me.
Okay.
It's basically
you're
just
a ruined windbag.
Okay,
you're really not.
Yeah,
but it sounds too nice. I would call him like
He doesn't have nasty connotations.
Wind was called colostomy when you get your colostomy bag, like when
colostomy bag. Yes,
yeah, that's what's name. Wind colostomy bag. Maybe it catches on.
I prefer windbag.
Yeah, I think
moving
it's
on. Keep it
simple.
Moving on. Yeah, moving on.
Okay.
So that's basically the whole club. The new dawn at the club. Everything new. I talked to some people who work at Hatter, and some told me that the whole atmosphere has changed.
Okay, good.
And let's hope it keeps going.
Yeah, because we've been a circus for long enough. It's time to get serious and, let's start.
Okay, summer transfers. Start
messing around. Yes.
Freddy Bobic had lots of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start with the outgoing? Or?
No, I'll
start with outgoing. Yeah. Is that fine with you?
Yes, but can we make it? Okay, I can challenge you. Cover all the names in 60 seconds.
6 seconds.
Or less. All the names.
Piontek, gone. On loan. Björkan, gone. Feyenoord. Boyata, sold. Belgium. Belfodil, free transfer. Alderete, totally screwed up his own career by blah, blah, blah. Jürgen Eklundkamp, gone to... Belgium,
yes.
Belgium.
Yes.
Klünter, expired contract went to Bielefeld, second league. Ascasibo on loan to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Toru sold to Ghent, where he was on loan.
Mm-hmm.
Dilrosun sold to Feyenoord. Leuven went to St. Louis. I mean, he's 21, 22 and goes to the MLS. I don't know what's wrong with people. Ricardo went to Basel.
Mm-hmm.
Schwolo is on a 1-year loan to Meissing, says Schulze, but I think it's Gelsenkirchen.
Yes.
And Lotka to Dortmund too, as was the whole thing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this says Körner, Hans, it's wrong. Yeah. Körber, Hansa. Okay, sorry, I haven't
you. Oh, yeah, Hansa Rostock, yes.
Yeah. Stark, expired contract, went to Bremen,
mm-hmm.
where he's doing well, I think. Redan to Utrecht on loan, and Arne Meyer was sold to Augsburg for 5 million, which I think is pretty good. Technical, because he never scored a goal, and he has 1 assist in his Bundesliga career so far. How much? How do you do?
A little bit over 60 seconds.
Oh.
But still pretty good. Pretty good. I approve.
Okay.
I approve.
Incoming.
Your noble efforts, I think you would describe it.
I need some water. Sorry.
Okay. So I'm going to... can we do 60 seconds for the incoming as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doug Ernst, third goalkeeper. Agustin Rochel, great, great center back from... Uruguay, who played for Estudiantes in Argentina for 400k, which is free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boetius, free transfer, his contract expired. Offensive midfielder, Wilfried Congar, center forward, 4 million from Young Boys Bern.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great guy. David Sherhan, coming from the academy. Chidera Ejuke, we have lots of incoming players from Russia, which is really good for us. Left winger, loan from ZSKA, no buy option. Ivan Shunjic, defensive midfielder from Birmingham, great guy. Jacek Nankam, totally stupid, I sold him. To Fürth, and now we had to buy him back for double the amount, which is okay. Don't ask me. Jonjo Kenny,
that's Hertha business.
Jonjo Kenny, right back, free transfer from Everton.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't figured out where he's from, but Simon is zoning in on this, gonna give us an update soon. And then we have Zeferik and Dodi Lukebakio returning from loan. And I would have bet my other testicle that that Dodi will
that's
never
leave you with one though, so you're open.
Yeah. You're good.
Then Dodi, hey, you're fucking up my timeline. I mean, Dodi Lukebakio, he was totally out for me, and now he's back. He's scoring goals. He's playing. He's defending. Are you fucking kidding me?
Mm.
He totally fucked up his loan to Wolfsburg, and now he's also. If you look at the Fuerte TV for all the after game voices or the what do you call that? He gives interviews. And he speaks German.
Mm.
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the goal isn't it? Fucking hell, where does he come from?
I don't know if you mentioned Filip Jurimovic from Rubin Kazan. I think
I skipped him because...
It was on a free from Kazan.
Oh, I didn't put him in here.
No, he isn't here.
Okay, I can't
read. We have the same list and I see him.
Oh, I'm at the out players. Yeah, so basically, players in the Russian Premier League, or what's it called? They could go somewhere else for one season. They get like a hall pass for one season.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And you mentioned we mentioned Rohel at the beginning, and
Rohel.
Yeah, and I think I screwed up the anagram. But anyway, I had regional thugs.
No.
No? Okay.
Something with Killer Machine. My new favorite player.
Well, I mean...
Shelbert's old number, made his debut. Okay, gonna talk about him later.
There is no age, so, you know, regional thug, that would have been... That would have worked.
But, we covered the in and out. Now let's talk about Schwarz real quick.
Yes.
Used to be... grew up and played for Mainz, was Mainz under-23s player, knows Klopp very well, and the other guy who got sacked at Chelsea, I forgot his name, the stupid, the Chelsea coach Dortmund.
Tuchel.
Thomas Tuchel. And yeah, he was coaching in Russia.
Spartak Moscow, I think is that.
Yeah, could be. Okay. And he got some bad press for not leaving right away.
Yes.
So what happened very, very cleverly, before they announced him, they did an interview with Voronin, who is Ukrainian and who was his assistant coach, and he left. He left because of his family, and I think he went to Germany, so I was hoping he would be the assistant coach, which he's not. But he may give this long interview about how he thinks that Schwarz is a very, in German you say, integer person, with a backbone, you know, principled, straightforward. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to leave the team alone. And Schwarz himself said that the team was, everybody was against this whole thing. So they said, hey, I don't want to be any part of this, another madman.
Special operation.
So he stayed to stay with the team. And when the season was over, he bounced.
Okay.
And this is the first really good, or the first coach, the first good thing that Bobic did, in my opinion. I mean, the transfers are all so-so. Okay, Rochel might be the biggest thing.
So, yeah, so far, he's looking really good. And another thing, you mentioned Luki Bakio yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I saw...
Luki Bakio.
I saw watching him a little bit. He reminded me, and I don't want to like put them on the same caliber, but he reminded me a little bit of Alexis Sanchez at Arsenal his first few seasons, because he would always go one on one with the guy. He would lose the ball quite a bit, but every
doesn't
time,
anymore.
Yeah, but like let's say that he did yesterday.
Going back for the second,
and if he got past the guy, the first guy, then it would almost every time open up a really good chance.
And he passed the ball.
Yes.
With the goals. Is that
Premier League Arsenal? What is Arsenal?
And he took it well and finished it.
Can you explain Arsenal to me?
Arsenal is a club in a distant country called England, in a city called London.
Ah, yes. Never heard of it. Yeah, that's the second affliction. He's in therapy about that too. No jokes about therapy. Okay, so we have this covered. If it's okay. Then maybe Simon can talk a bit. There was a training camp in England.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was. Yes, they went over. There's a training camp in England, St George's Park. I think they were sort of based in.
Where's
that? They went to
West St George's Park.
Burton-on-Trent, I think.
Okay, can you help us a bit? Because
it's up north. It's,
from London?
It's, yes.
But not on
it's north of the Watford Gap, so it's in the frozen north.
South of Newcastle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the only city I know.
So it's up there.
Apart from Edinburgh.
So they played two games against full teams there, I think. One was Derby, the other one was...
I think they did two with foreigners, and then they did...
They did something else as well.
They did two without spectators.
Yeah.
I think that went as well, right?
But some people went to those.
Oh, and yeah,
he did. I think
and Aaron the Hatter UK people, of course.
Yeah.
And you did two go? You?
I just went to the Derby game, which was... It was great fun, really. The stadium wasn't completely full or anything. It was... I think it was just two stands that they had there. There was quite a decent number of Hertha fans that had turned up, which was nice to see.
But they didn't win any games, right?
Not so much, no. Yeah. No, not so much. But there's quite a good atmosphere there. And and a shout out to the Derby staff there, because I sort of turned up there with my sort of Hertha shirt and what have you, and they were a bit sort of nonplussed because I wasn't German. But but we got talking to a few of them there, and this couple, because we said we'd come all the way up to to see them play up in Derby, and they took us in through the gates of the stand, and they allowed us to sort of look around. They gave us a little mini tour of the place, just because, you know, as a friendly gesture kind of thing, and we were allowed to sort of go out and stand on the pitch, which was, I think, was really nice of them. The staff and things and the volunteers at Derby County were delightful. It really was nice to see. It was a really sort of good atmosphere like that. They were incredibly welcoming to this sort of random team coming in from Germany.
And you didn't have to travel as far as you usually do.
It was a nightmare travelling there, actually.
Oh, really? How come?
It was to get there, we stayed with the younger of our two sons. And then we went on the day by train, and you can't just sort of go straight to Derby from there. You had to go up to, was it Petersfield, I think it was. Then you had to go to Nottingham, and then from Nottingham you had to get another train to go into Derby, which was one thing. But coming back, a whole lot of trains and things had got cancelled. So we ended up going to the place right now, in the middle of nowhere. I forgot what it was called. Very pretty town, but in the middle of nowhere. And then to get another train to, I forget where, but we were worried that we weren't going to be able to get home at all. But we got away with it.
And then the last stretch you went by horseback, right? Or rode on a piggy or something like that?
Yes, we both rode on the back of sows.
like the dwarves in the Hobbit movies.
Yes. But it was it's good to be back to see a live game again in Berlin. We met shed loads of people on this trip, right from the word go, really. We sort of arrived late on the Thursday night, and we met up with young Patrick here, but also sort of Joel from another part of Canada. He's Ottawa, isn't he?
Yes.
I think so. It was quite
good. Guys from Manitoba.
Okay.
Oh yeah, as well, yes.
Okay, so a few words about the game itself yesterday against Offenheim. Finished a 1-1 draw. What do you think?
I have to leave very soon because of an emergency of the not so bad kind. I have to go take care of my family. Perfect weather. I looked at all the pictures. Like Marcus did a Instagram post. It looked like, I don't know, we were in Asgard. Is that the heaven?
Yes.
great. And the whole atmosphere. So three things about the match. Still no win, but they're getting there. That's exactly what Dodi Lukebakio said after the game. It's okay. We're doing well. The results are going to come. And that's basically what we need now.
Mm.
And what else? Nice goal. Defending was okay. Oh, I missed the first half because we were with my daughter and she wanted to have fries. So we went behind the Ostkurve and had two servings of fries.
Okay.
Yeah, because the fries are really shit at the stadium. So I talked to my guy.
It depends which stall you go to. Some of them aren't too bad.
I looked at them and they're all red and said, hey, my guy, can you do me a favor? It's for my daughter. Can you just... So I just got them with a little bit of salt. Okay. And I did that twice. But hey, $4 for this shitty fries.
Yeah,
that's something that the new board is also working on.
Okay.
It's all... So, like, we're a family.
There was a Donner stall. Did you see that? There were massive queues.
Hakiki. That's the whole story. The whole story behind it is this from Wedding. That's where Boateng is from. And when he signed, he said he's going to give 2023 free donors.
I remember that.
That's why there was such a big queue.
Yesterday, the same. It was like, is this the special toilet? No, it's really long. Yeah, I'm more of a Hasir guy myself. Oh, Hisar. Guy myself,
okay.
S-Bahnhof Yorkstraße, best donor in town. But yeah, at least they're changing something. Now all we need is specialty coffee, and then I'm good. When I went to the first home game, there's this new advertisement thing across the marathon tour.
Yeah,
I really didn't like that.
You know what it said? Good coffee in the VIP section, Mac Cafe, fucking McDonald's.
Oh wow,
that's crap.
Yeah, that's not good.
I find it quite distracting.
I don't mind.
I didn't like it either.
I think the other ones are also distracting, especially this, like, just this Bitcoin gas coin thingy. It's, you know, they have two on top of each other, and they don't really make sense for you in the studio, but they in the stadium, but it makes sense for people at home. You know, they're the most important customers. We're just pawns in the game. Okay, game. Yes. Game. Great start. I missed the first half. Second half, Rochel came in. Mm. And fuck, I have a new favorite player.
Yes.
Jesus awesome. Christ.
Better than Shelbred.
He has Shelbred's number. Did you see what he did to the guys? I watched the second half.
He's a big lad, though, isn't he?
Hey, did you see the one scene where he was chasing down the striker and nobody had the ball? He just bumped into him?
Yeah.
Speaking of bumping into them, it should have been a red. Or do you say second yellow? Or do you call it? Yeah, second yellow for Geiger. I mean, the first half, he just basically says, oh, let's play American football, and runs into the guy. He gets a yellow card. In the second half, he holds his... You're going to get into that later.
Yeah, he
holds him on the jersey. And
holds his shirt back.
Yeah. And I think if Konga, great, great addition, works hard for the team, needs some more luck. If you want to highlight it, the first thing that they show from Hertha is Serda going dribbling, and then he just plays a wonderful through ball to right into the feet of Konga, and then he just misses up the shot.
Mm.
And then Ejuke has two assists already, and this goal was also great setup. And if you have these before, I had to always had trouble creating something on the wing, and now we have Ejuke, he did very well, I thought. I mean, Ejuke has a bit of this Kalou thing where he sometimes doesn't pass early enough, and Dodi never passed. He never passed the ball. He always went for the score, no matter how bad the angle. And he's the biggest surprise.
There was somebody in the second half that was coming in from our side. So he was coming in from right to left towards the goal. He could have passed it across, but he took a shot. And it was at such a narrow angle. There was no way.
When he lost the ball in the box and they picked the ball back up, and then Zelko was like, what the fuck? Why didn't you pass them?
Yeah, that was bad, because there's no way. I mean, occasionally somebody gets a shot like that, but it, at that angle.
And they had so many near misses. Yeah. So when they went, I think Kenny or Ejuke went behind the enemy lines and then passed it back in Osterda, and then just missed the other guy by a few. But people in the stands kept complaining, and why is he doing that? But if you just take a second and put yourself in your own shoes, let's say after the first relegation playoff, I mean, in the first home match, I saw more football than I saw all last season. Yeah. So I'm good.
Yeah, it was encouraging. And also, didn't Hoffenheim hit the crossbar at the end
once
of the first half?
Once they scored a disallowed goal.
Yeah, also that for offside in the second half. But they hit the crossbar near the end of the first half, right?
Right before the break.
Yes. And I'm happy with a draw, definitely.
Yeah, I think a draw was a fair result. It really was. It could have gone either way at any stage right up to the end. So, you can't really complain.
Yeah, but still, look at the program. I looked it up yesterday, except for Leverkusen, who are actually they're second to last right now. But that's just this is the freak, because they are European
they are playing in Europe. Yes.
Yeah. Usually they should. Everybody else was from the top. I mean, Union is first or second. Mm-hmm. Dortmund, Gladbach, all up there. So this, to slip in some more Ted Lasso references. Believe.
All right. Okay, so yeah.
I'll have to leave now, so thank you so much. And I don't know how long these guys are going to talk, but you're going to get some insights into Norse mythology, poutine,
and of course.
Probably Macintosh.
Isn't that German for turkey?
Poutine?
Poutine.
Just poutine. Yeah. You know what I mixed up at first? It's like, you eat something that's called whore. Putain?
Right, putain,
poutine.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I have to leave. I had a blast. See you.
Yep. And we will be back in a second. Oh, yeah. Sorry, forgot. One last thing, Jan. What makes you happy? This might be a new section in the podcast from now on. What makes us happy? So what makes you happy?
yesterday was just, I mean, I have so many things I could say that makes me happy. Like if I roast coffee and it tastes good, or if I manage to do some latte art that looks not horrible. Like, yeah, you've seen what I can do when you visited.
There was all.
Sorry, yeah. Good thing I'm leaving. Yesterday was fine. And I think the whole, can you say a new dawn at Hertha? That makes me happy. And guys, if you can, watch Ted Lasso. It's the best show in the world, period. And now I'm handing off my headset to Simon.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. And to get back into the game a little bit, the game against Hoffenheim, one thing that I think was worth is worth mentioning is, even though there were, quote unquote, only 41,000 people in the stadium, I gotta say that the atmosphere was pretty good.
Yeah, it was very, very good, I think. I mean, the people in the Oscars were in the sort of top tier and sort of down below were singing their hearts out, you know, the whole time. They were really, really going for it big time. And although it's like 41,600 or so, something like that, in the stadium, well, that's what they announced, it felt like a lot more.
It did.
It actually looked like it was a lot more as well, because yes, there were blocks and things that were empty, but there were people. Yeah, it just the whole feel of it felt like there was a lot more. And I think it's had a very positive kind of atmosphere too. Yes. At no point was there anything that wasn't just sort of wholeheartedly supporting the team.
There was this occasional groan if someone missed a pass, but that, you know, that's part for the course. But like, around me anyway, I didn't notice any like big, discontent.
No.
You know?
No, I didn't think so at all. Jan's father-in-law usually sort of sits just along the way from us, and sometimes he expresses his discontent.
I remember.
And he was pretty calm, I think, during the course of that game.
That's true.
On the whole, it was, I think the result was absolutely a fair one. It could have gone either way at any point, whatever. But people were pretty positive. And I think the atmosphere afterwards was pretty positive too. And the team came up to the Oscova and did their applause and things. So, it wasn't a win, but I think everything was pretty positive.
It felt good. It felt good because, on too many occasions, it feel like a draw can feel like, drop points.
Yeah.
Not in this case. I was okay with
it. No, it was fine. Yeah. Sometimes a draw, you depending on how the game has gone, especially if you concede, quite late on in the game, it feels like a loss. But, it was a good game.
I was very relieved when the Hoffenheim goal in the second half was called off for offside. Because I didn't think they would recover.
A lot of people, I think, certainly around me, didn't realise it was offside.
Yeah, I didn't.
Until quite a long time afterwards. Because the goals and things don't always go up on the scoreboard and things straight away anyway.
Yeah, they don't, right?
No, which is a bit sort of odd, really. You're never quite sure what's going on.
Yeah, they used to show the replays on the screen as well.
Don't seem to do that. No,
that sucks. And I know exactly what you mean, because when they scored, I was like, "Fuck! Now it's 2-1." I don't think they're gonna come back from this. And I looked around me, and people weren't reacting that much.
No.
I was like, "Huh?" And then I saw the linesman with his flag up.
I tweeted something a minute or so after that. Sometimes I like flag.
Yes. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Slight understatement there. But,
because also, Hoffenheim scored first. Wait.
No, we scored first. Then they equalized.
Yes. Yeah, Jesus. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. My God, my brain is all over the place. So if we move back to a few hours before the game, there was this big sustainability event, if you like.
Yeah.
And that involved a bike ride to the stadium.
That was all part of it. Yes. There were two parts to it all. Really, there was a sustainability village they described it as, which I'm not quite sure about that naming of it all. But there was a set of stalls that were set up by sort of various organisations that were pushing sort of like, yeah, not pushing, but advocating a green agenda, if you like, sort of climate neutral and all that kind of stuff.
I didn't know that they called it that. Sustainability village. Okay, so that's odd.
Yeah, including sort of our sort of fan group, the Axel Cruiser Jugend, mm-hmm. had a stall there, and they were sort of, you know, had some little kids there sort of, you know, making badges, these sort of little button badges.
Okay.
Sort of giving them out to people. And they're trying to get people to sign a petition. Trying to get the Berlin government to push for carbon neutral by 2030.
Yes.
Was the plan. Nico tried to, you know, get us to go around. Yeah, you're listening for English voices to get people to sign it, but you couldn't sign it anyway because you have to be a German citizen to be able to sign it. But
so even though you pay property tax here,
yeah,
you couldn't even sign it.
Yes,
disappointing.
There should be no taxation without representation.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
But there you go. Anyway, that's that. And part of it all, there was also a bike ride that had been organised. So people not using cars and what have you to get to the game, because quite a lot of people do drive there. So try to encourage people to use zero carbon sort of methods to actually sort of get to the ground. So we went to Gesundbrunnen, where the...
That's where it started?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So which is where the reason behind that, that's where the Plumper, the old ground for Hertha, used to be.
Oh yeah, that's true. Okay.
It's donkeys years ago. They built a block of flats all over it, but there is a memorial thing, like a big football, that's there. So we all sort of started off from that. So a whole lot of Hertha people. Sort of most of them, you know, having something, whether it's a scarf or whatever. But me being the sort of warm-blooded person I am, I'm there in my shorts and Hertha shirt. And I had a little flag stuck on the back of my bike as well. So just to sort of demonstrate. But this whole group of cyclists that had, you know, police outriders and things on either side, and there was a police car in the front and a police car at the back. Just to, you know, basically we just sort of cycled on through and they just cleared the way.
Oh,
so,
nice.
You know, traffic lights and things like that to get it.
Awesome.
just carry on going. So,
do you know how many people there were on bikes?
I don't know. I
must have been mentioned somewhere.
I don't know. Not that I heard.
Okay.
But I'd guess like a hundred or so, maybe a bit more. I'm not quite sure. There was quite a lot of bikes. It went on for quite a long time. Yeah, you know, sort of going through. I mean, as is always the way with these things, it started off with everybody all in a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, it gradually got more and more straggled. I had dreadful problems with my bike. I still don't know what it was that caused it. So I ended up sort of falling right back at the end. Anything that was slightly uphill was absolutely killing. But I got there. So
survived.
It was organised by one of our... one of our friends, Ines, so she had the tail end Charlie sort of job, so she was hovering around at the back to make sure people didn't get sort of left behind. They had lots of Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had to sort of help people. There were loads of people with the day glow vests on,
mm-hmm.
that were sort of intermingled amongst it all. There were police that actually. Riding along on bikes as well, push bikes,
okay,
which was quite fun. Because when something went clank on my bike and it started to become really heavy going, this policeman on his push bike came up next to me. Didn't realise I was English, but found out fairly quickly. and he asked about some mark on my leg, And they said, there's muscle there. That's the engine of this machine. And which was quite, I thought it was quite funny anyway. Yeah. And I sort of patted my sort of rather extended stomach and said, there's plenty of fat there as well. But, well, it made him laugh anyway. But one of the other interesting things that Ines brought up was the subject of the Hatter women's team, because we sort of had dinner with her on the Friday night, because Hatter don't have a women's team at all as it stands at the moment. They had a long-standing association with quite a successful women's team in Potsdam.
Yes,
so it was Potsdam Turbina.
Yes,
who had sort of really done very well, and Hatter, rather than having a women's team themselves and undermining that existing team, they developed a relationship where they sort of lent coaching staff and this kind of thing. But something must have sort of gone wrong with that relationship comparatively recently, and it's broken down. Not quite sure on the background of all that, and I don't want to say anything that's sort of wrong or misleading.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a proposal put forward at the next members meeting that how to start up a women's team.
Okay.
So the next members meeting, all the members can go along and you can wave your membership card or your Dower Carta. And they can, I don't know if you're going to be able to vote on it then, or whether they're just putting the proposal forward. But that's the plan anyway. So that how to actually sort of develop a women's team or teams.
I mean, you mentioned a number for the budget before we started recording.
Yeah. I mean, there was some mention of it sort of costing, I think it was like 17,000 euros or something, which is a drop in the ocean. I'm not quite sure what that is for, whether that's just setting it up. Because presumably they're going to be amateur. They must be.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't glean that much information from Ines. I'm a slacker like that.
But, I mean, honestly, it's not like the club can't afford it. It would be a good, I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but it would be a great PR move to start with.
Yeah.
And
it's just something they should be doing.
There's definitely a market for it, for sure. And, there is, potential players, and it would be... it would be a move in the right direction, I think.
So, I mean, certainly since the women's Euros, England did very well, as people may not know, but Germany did pretty well too. I think they were, was it fourth or third
or fourth? But yes,
they did pretty well too. And certainly in England, the women's game has really come on in leaps and bounds in recent years.
Yes.
It's on the radio and TV and what have you, and like I was sort of saying to you earlier on that, I mean, sometimes when you're hearing a radio report, you have to sort of double take almost as to whether it's a men's game or a Premier League game, which is
Chelsea's playing Arsenal today.
Yeah, really?
Okay, all right.
It's kind of weird like that, but in a good way. So it's something that Hatter, I think, ought to dive into. Why not?
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Mm. I agree completely. And that was it for the match and what was surrounding it. It was also great football weather yesterday, because it started. Yeah. It didn't start that well, the weather wise, but it got better and better
during this. About 5 minutes or so into that cycle ride that I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
and there's me in my shorts and Hatter shirt, and that's pretty much it. Apart from a pair of pants, of course, I was wearing a pair of pants too.
Of course.
But apart from that, that's what I was wearing, and it absolutely pissed it down. It was a big, heavy shower.
Ooh.
Yeah, loads of people stopped. And put on cagoules and waterproof trousers. I would have just cooked alive if I'd been wearing all that. So I just got wet, and then by the time I got to the stadium, it all dried off again anyway.
Okay,
because I was probably steaming. I probably looked like a paddle steamer going down the street. because I just generate so much heat. It's ridiculous.
So how long does it take from Gisselbrunnen to the...
It's about an hour, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean, of course, you know, people weren't, you know... It wasn't the Tour de France. I mean,
if you put it into Google Maps, I think it says it takes about 3/4 of an hour. But there was a few pauses. At one point, they stopped for something. I've forgotten what now.
Wait for people to catch up a little bit, probably.
Perhaps it was that. I don't know. I think they might have actually stopped at one point to allow people to put coats and things on.
Oh, yeah, okay.
As well. But on the whole, apart from that one shower, the weather was glorious, wasn't it? During the match, it was... I mean, from sitting in our seats, it looked like clear blue skies out there. Yes. And when the sun was out, it was quite warm.
Yep.
Not so much when the sun wasn't out and the wind was blowing, but I was still sitting there in the stadium with my shorts.
Of course.
There was a girl sitting directly in front of me, a little girl. She must have been about, I don't know, 7 or so, something like that, I guess. She suddenly caught sight of these knees in behind her. She was looking at them as though... She must have thought I was a complete madman or something. I don't know. But hey, that's just what I'm like, really.
Look at the crazy person in shorts.
I was, I think, probably the only person in that stadium wearing shorts still. I did put a hoodie on, so I'm not completely mad.
Okay. Yeah. There's still hope yet. All right. So, okay. I don't know if there was anything else overall.
Not that I can think of, so...
Okay. All right, so...
I think that's probably a wrap, isn't it?
Yes. So, I don't know... Okay, so Jan isn't here anymore, but it depresses me to think of the next time we will be able to do this in person.
Face-to-face, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a few months, but we will do the next episode, like, on the, you know... Zoom or...
Yeah, we can do a Zoomy one, can't we?
Yeah, Zencaster or something. And yeah, probably after... Not sure when, to be honest.
No, we'll see. No, we'll make that up as we go along, really.
Yeah, probably in a couple games. Let's say that. We'll talk again in a couple matches.
Let's not overcommit, hey?
Yeah, exactly, yes. Yeah. Under promise and over deliver. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So, guys, it was good to talk to you again. And until next time, all I can say is, ahoy.
Hasta bestie.
All right. Cheers.